Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paul Hawksby.
And Andy Jacobs.
And this is the H&J Daily, some of the best bits of this afternoon's show, which featured Andy Brassel. He was back, our European football expert.
Yeah, he gave us his take on the World Cup. We had a bit of a chat about the World Cup final in England. Then we strayed into some more unusual off-season areas. Not mid-season.
Lost the plot.
I think it's the mid-season. And then talking about long drives in golf. There is an actual tournament for people who can hit the ball very hard, and we heard how it all works, didn't we?
Yeah.
So that, basically. We hope you enjoy it.
And don't ask me.
Oh, yeah, don't ask me. A thrilling one. It really was. Six minutes past one. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Andy.
Good afternoon, Paul. Good afternoon, everybody. And we got the final that the tournament deserved, I think. It was a smashing game, especially for about an hour, you know. And even when Croatia got their second goal, you know, it just felt old Skorg now going.
Yeah. Just when you thought it was dead at 4-1, 4-2, good old Hugo in one of his moments that he occasionally has, as I've learned at my cost. And then. And then suddenly you're thinking, oh, 4-3, this is game on again. So it kept the interest up.
It was just great. And they were so unlucky. And, you know, for the first hour, they were the better side. And we'll talk about the controversial decisions. I watched the match with a Croatian family and two Argentinians, which would have been fine had the referee not been Argentinian. It did get a little bit edgy.
Did it really?
Oh, yeah, it did really. So.
What did they think of Patana's performance and the Argentinians? Do they rate him? Is he kind of...
Yeah, oh, no, he's a well-known referee.
Is he their kind of Howard Webb?
I think they
love him.
I think they thought he did a... Well,
were they getting behind the lad? Were they some very supportive?
Well, no, I don't think they were because they wanted Croatia to win, so they were a bit upset with him. But, you know, they're always going to defend their own. The Croatians are not happy about it, really. But, you know, Martin Kean, he was a strange... it's a strange choice in a way for the final. I mean, just some of the things he said were really quite...
He was desperate.
He said, VAR has had its day. You think, what do you mean it's had its day? It's only just started. And there was just loads of things like that. You know, we just think, what are you talking about?
He was desperate to use the analogy of the weather and the stormy weather and bring it into the game. Because a few times Guy Mowbray was saying, oh, just a hint of lightning there, and Martin would say, well, the real lightning's on the pitch with Mbappe. You get the idea, Martin. You're constantly trying to bring it back to the players on the pitch based on the weather.
They used to call him the water carrier. Today he's carrying buckets of champagne.
Yeah. I didn't quite know what to do. I mean, I was torn because I went with the Beeb initially, and I thought, Clive's doing the other side. He's an old chum, so I thought, let's have a listen to Clive. Glenn, one of my sporting heroes. And so I turned over a few times and was thinking.
Was it
back
Guy Mowbray? I thought it was Steve Wilson. I didn't realize.
No, it was Guy Mowbray who was doing the game. Yes, yeah, so I felt.
After the Lloris thing, he said, you won't believe what you've just seen. I thought, well, Spurs fans will. they're used to it, really. But and then Martin Keown accused Mandzukic of play acting.
Yeah.
With about 15 minutes to go or 10 minutes to go, and they're losing 4-2. Why would he play it? Why would he time waste?
Well, yeah, I know.
There was a lovely
moment,
really.
There was a lovely moment with Glenn when I turned over where he was talking about Mbappe's useful exuberance. Well, I think it's always been useful to be exuberant, isn't it? Really?
It is, really. And what was this one? Oh, yes, of course, good to see Popeye's favourite player playing for Croatia, Strinic.
Oh, yeah. He was very good.
That's what I got, yeah.
Is that it? That's what else you wrote down, was it? You're watching the greatest game in world football and you're coming up with Popeye gags.
Well, that's true, really, you know. But you've got to,
separating Argentina.
I did enjoy the end was fantastic with Putin, with the only person with the umbrella. Yeah. It was brilliant. Mm. And especially the bloke holding it had it in a certain way that it was just all dripping onto Macron.
Yeah.
Sort of, and also Putin's left sleeve was getting soaked, and the bloke obviously eventually moved to cover him completely. So
that left sleeve might be used to tighten around that bloke's neck probably later on last night.
It wasn't great, really.
Yeah. So
he was still drier than everybody else. So
he was. I mean, fantastic.
I don't know what
the Croatian, she hugged everybody, didn't she?
Yes.
French and probably the referees.
Oh, I think she did hug the referee.
She gave them all a hug. But she didn't. What I liked about her, though, I mean, obviously she was, the barnet had gone by the end of it, was stuck to her head, and she wouldn't have liked that. That was her kind of window, wasn't it? So she's standing there like a drowned rattle there running.
Wasn't great.
But she didn't care.
What
she
did
was
they
smiling
do
away.
I mean, they
that's
have
what
had,
you call a president.
They would have had to go home in wet, dripping wet clothes.
I think they might have a change of clothes for them.
I don't think they would they? Would Macron have a change of clothes? Wouldn't have expected to
they could
change
knock
his
one,
clothes.
Knock one up for him. They'll find him a sort of T-shirt and a pair of shorts in
You mean that sort of way, rather than a suit.
Well, I don't know, wouldn't they? You don't take a spare suit with you everywhere, do you? You don't expect to get caught in that kind of downpour.
I've just spotted another Martin that I wrote down. Martin Kane, he said, he was talking about the French defence, and they're saying, we will not be moved. You mean, we shall not be moved.
Yeah.
Just slightly wrong. Just get it slightly wrong.
Yeah. Anyway.
Never mind.
Well, we got a great final. Third place game. Bit of frustration.
Oh, yeah, again.
The second half, we played well.
Frustrating. It was England unlucky, you know. That was always going to end up 2-0 or 1-1, you know, and then go into extra time. But you just... Dyer was so close. He suddenly started to play really well just before that.
And he did have a very good
set. Quite progressive, I thought he played very well.
It's mad, though, isn't it, with the stats, when you consider that we've lost more games at this World Cup than any in our history.
Yeah.
In terms of defeats. Three defeats.
Yeah.
So we lost more games in this World Cup than ever before, than any other World Cup. But that doesn't tell the story of,
no, it doesn't tell
of what
story.
Went on, does it?
Yeah. The thing is, though, people say, oh, this young team is miles younger. It's true, but you know, the average age of the France team is younger than the England team, which is slightly worrying in terms
of... No, David Ginlow was right. We heard that clip there with Toby, didn't we? He's right. It's the start of something special for them.
In the England game, the ref did what I call a John Moss. He allowed the ball to be placed for the corner and then blew for half-time. That's so annoying.
Oh, that was not a good one, was it? It's the Clive Thomas.
Yeah.
It's that. And just a final word on the waistcoat. It's a great bit by Giles Smith in the Times at the weekend. He said the greatest thing about it was that he pulled it off. He said, waistcoat, no jacket as a look is not easy to pull off. He said, it's practically impossible to dress this way without looking as though you're about to punch someone in the face at a wedding. What a top line.
Well,
no one's going to beat
that. It's very
true.
Talking of good lines, my friend's wife was watching the game with us, and when Stephen Nzonzi came on, she said to me, is that Stephen from Swansea? Why is he playing for France?
Wouldn't that be a great way to introduce players onto the pitch, as if they're going to be on a game show? Are they just about to go on to Bullseye?
A bit of a caller, though. So Stephen from Swansea on line three.
That's right, yeah. Okay, I mean, that's right.
There must have been moments, if you've got any of those, where you watched, we've done this before, but where you've watched football with people who don't watch a lot of
football. And the World Cup's a classic example. Yeah, if there was any fine comments coming out of the World Cup final, that would be good. Actually,
if you can top Stephen from Swansea.
I might get a bit of a shooing for this, but my missus did one. She said, is the referee wearing Argentinian colours on purpose? And me and my son both looked at each other and we said, no, it's just pure. I mean, it was a good question because he was wearing a light blue top and black shorts.
Oh, no, that's a reasonable question.
It was a reasonable question, but we did point out. I mean, I love the idea that the referee would wear the colours of their nation when they did a game so we could have a third kit clash to worry about.
Yeah, that's true.
But there was nothing wrong with that question, I'd say, because I want to go home tonight in one piece, of course.
I thought
there
was a fair question.
It was a fair question. I do like Stephen from Swansea, though. Contestant number three.
It's regular.
Also, our old mate Omid Jalili asked a question this morning. We saw him last week.
Oh, yeah, I found another Martin Keown.
Go on, get out your system. Give us your Martin Keown.
When he's talking about Mbappe, he's saying, I'm not sure what he had for breakfast this morning, but we want something. You think, what's that got to do? Forget all the coaching, the practicing, the experience.
No, you're being a bit tight.
It's probably muesli and yoga. It doesn't really...
You're being a bit tight now. That's the old thing. I'll have what he's having.
I
think you've gone too far there.
No, I
defend Martin's corner there.
I do. He still hasn't put it down to useful. Bowling him.
Put it down to useful exuberance. Now... Omid said earlier on, has anybody got any remedy for World Cup withdrawal?
Oh, yes. That's
is there
point.
Such a thing? Because I did feel a bit bereft, really, last night.
I mean, I have felt bereft for a few once you get it mostly, you get it in phases. You get it after the first group stage when you've had three games a day. You've really got used to that. Then you get the quarterfinals, and then so there's a bit after that, and then there's a bit after the semifinals, there's the complete anti-climax.
The thing is,
tonight.
Our head of football, David Walker, will testify when he gets back. You spent practically the whole of the first stage moaning that there was too much football on.
Well,
we cut three games a day.
No, because some of them didn't matter. You know, I couldn't watch things that didn't
Iran
matter.
Iran versus Morocco.
No, when the two bottom teams in the group were obviously going to finish third and fourth played each other,
no.
I didn't feel the need for that one.
Okay. But, yeah, it's true, because you do find yourself saying, I'm not more football, and then 2 weeks later you're gagging for more football, aren't you? So
we've only got to wait. It's less than 3 weeks to the Community Shield.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait.
Oh, can't wait for a 5-0 defeat. No, it'd be marvellous.
So let us know this afternoon if you're dealing with World Cup withdrawal at the moment, what your plans are, what you've started doing. Yeah. So we'll pass
the
them on to Omid.
The season's going to be a little bit skewed. I mean, you know, Arsenal fans are going to be quite excited because a lot of their players either weren't in the World Cup or have very poor World Cups.
Mm, so they're back
early.
So
they're kind of back early. And so that gives them a slight advantage.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that first up. The recovery period, what they need to do if they are going to make it back for the start of the season. Obviously, City and Spurs probably worse hit than anybody else. So we'll be chatting about that with Ben Dinnery from Physio Room. We'll be joined by Andy Brassel in the studio, looking at some of the big stories around Europe, some of the transfer deals. If you've signed overseas players from European clubs, Andy will be able to mark your card. So West Ham fans, definitely stick around from 1:30. Talk a bit of Wimbledon. Keith Hackett gives his take on what went on with the referee yesterday. That did have a telling mark on the game, of course. We can't pretend it didn't.
It was huge.
We'll talk boxing, as we know Joshua versus Povetkin is on. Bit of golf and lots more besides. All to come from me and Andy. Plus a bit of Don't Ask Me at the end of the show. But as we said, we'll look at the effect this tournament's had on some of the players in the Premier League very shortly. Well, Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. My youngest son gave me a stat yesterday. Apparently, Harry Kane did the 7th most running of any player in the tournament. I'm thinking, that can't be right.
That's probably not
right. Not for a striker.
Right. No.
No wonder he wasn't able to get on the end of things. He was flogged.
Yeah, he had a great start to the tournament, and then he just did fall away, didn't he?
He tried to do too much, really, to make things
happen.
He felt
the responsibility of being
captain. Yeah, absolutely.
Captain,
well, that happens a lot with captains. He's one of many players who may be struggling to be mentally and physically fresh for the start of the season. Here to talk about that from Physio Room, of course, is Ben Dinnery. Hi, Ben.
Good afternoon, guys. How are you doing?
Yeah, good, thank
thanks.
You. You know, I didn't realise till today there's a Premier League rule that says a player must have a 2-week break between seasons. I didn't know it was kind of written in stone.
Yeah, it's a FIFA guideline, the recommendation that, you know, at the end of a tournament, you know, players need to go away and just refresh themselves, recuperate, go out in the limelight, and prepare themselves for the upcoming season.
In terms of conditioning, I mean, we were talking about this last week and all the extra time that Croatia played. When you're playing a lot of football, I mean, it kind of keeps you ticking over. Not having that great switch off over the summer that many players did that weren't in the tournament. They've got the big pre-season to come back. Although mentally and physically you're fatigued, you're probably a little bit further down the road than others, aren't you?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the fitness work probably would have been done, you know, pre-tournament. Mm. So once the tournament was in play, it would have been just a case of players being involved in matches. And certainly those who are playing the majority of the minutes, a lot of the stuff would be just around maintenance and maintaining the fitness levels. While those players on the fringe, those peripheral players, you know, will be training with slightly increased levels. So it's, you know, when they go back after this, you know, maybe 2 or potentially 3 week break, you know, they're going in with still good levels of fitness.
Yeah, I mean, Chelsea have insisted all their players have 3 week breaks. I mean, a couple of them may not be Chelsea players by the end of that 3 weeks, but you can see why. And although John Stones and Harry Kane, it's admirable they want to be fit for the start of the season, they want to play, it could affect them down the road, couldn't it? Sort of, you know, come November, December, they could be starting to feel very tired and prone to injuries. It's probably best to have a break, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like I say, we have this 2 week recommendation in place. The reality is some players, you know, it could be 3, potentially up to a month for some. That will come down to the individual, the position they play, the style of play, the minutes of involvement. And yeah, you're right, players who have been involved in tournament play are susceptible to injuries, whether it be muscular and soft tissue tears. But not only that, when they do become injured, they tend to stay out slightly longer on average than those who've taking part in a full pre-season program.
I mean, the physios and the sports scientists and everything around the top clubs is so sophisticated now. They'll be fully aware of this. It's, you know, gone are the days, really, when they come back after 2 weeks and they're running up and down hills, sergeant major style. So they'll be aware of all these, and they're used to managing players back from injury. So that, you know, that'll be an element of that to it, just managing the players in those first couple of months.
Oh yes, I mean, you know, this element of guesswork has gone out of the game now. You know, clubs and backroom staff and medical teams, you know, they know their players inside out. You know, they know the levels they need to be attaining, and any dips in performances can be pinpointed as to why. You know, and we often heard Arsene Wenger refer to players being, you know, in the red zone, those players at high risk of injuries. And you know, once those are flagged, you know, players will be removed from training, or their training loads will be altered accordingly.
I mean, to that, pre-season training is still incredibly important. It's got more sophisticated, but it's still very, very important. And some of those players coming back now will just won't be able to do it in quite the same way, which could, you know, cause them injury issues a bit later on in the season. That's what the research says, isn't it?
It is, yes, yeah. I mean, pre-season effectively it forms a cornerstone of the full season for any player. And any disruption to that programme, yeah, we'll see increased levels of injury incidence and increased time out. So, you know, it's a fine balancing act. Players coming back from, you know, the tournament play will effectively take part in some kind of refined pre-season programme. It'll not be your typical sort of 5 to 6 weeks of intensive work. You know, they're talking about Jamie Vardy and Harry Maguire will be back after 15 days. You know, can players be involved in the opening weekend? You know, quite possibly. Are they likely to start? I maybe suggest not. You know, being in and around the squad and maybe introduced from the bench would be a more realistic approach to that, I think, with a gradual increase of minutes, maybe towards the end of August.
Even at the start of the season, though, you often hear managers talking about not getting your match fitness, your match sharpness for at least 5-6 games, in even if you've had a good pre-season. So it is going to be difficult for these players to catch up. I mean, I think in an ideal world, wouldn't they come back about mid-September when they having done their own pre-season? But that's unlikely to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we talk about productivity, you know, and players' output, and you will see dips in levels of performances. Certainly during those first few weeks, players coming back from long-term injuries can sometimes take between sort of 8 and 12 games before they actually, you know, get back to that level of sharpness. So, it'll be managed. Players will be assessed and monitored, and clubs will, you know, cut their cloth accordingly. And that will vary from club to club and player to player.
Good to talk to you. Thanks very much, Ben.
Brilliant. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, bye. There we are, physio room's Ben Dinnery there.
It's funny that the season's starting so... I mean, people, fans will be delighted, and we'll all be delighted, because after 3 weeks without football, we'll be desperate again. But it would have been better if it started a bit later, really.
Yeah.
From an ideal point of view. But anyway, that's not what's happened.
It gets underway on the 11th, doesn't it? Which means normally after a World Cup, you normally kick off around the
18th. Yeah, it's a strange one. And there's no tournament next summer, is there? So...
No.
There's no reason for the season having to be curtailed. It's a strange one.
Transfer window closes on the 9th, of course. Let's not forget. So it'll be transfer deadline day. On no.
Come and help yourself.
Well, not according to Peter Coates in that conversation we had all the time. He didn't have an issue with it. And
yeah,
a lot of people
wrong.
Don't. Well, we'll find out in the fullness of time, but it does feel pretty high risk the closer we get to that. And you were so right on Friday. Well, then we've bitched about VAR, certainly in the final yesterday at times during the tournament. It's going to be moments, key moments during the season when we're going to be thinking, I wish we had VAR in the Premier. When your team gets sawn off.
First day, it's going to happen.
You made an interesting point, actually. We'll talk to Keith Hackett about this later on. We said next season there'll be no VAR in the Premier League, but could it be half a season? Could they make a decision at Christmas? Probably not. You can't gear up like that. You kind of half the... Because then if you've got half the competition...
Excuse the competition.
That would have been a goal... Had we played in January?
Yeah, they're going to have to leave it to the following year. But it's definitely going to come in. There's no question.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Andy Jacobs here on TalkSport. We've got the Open coming up later this week.
Yeah,
we're
going to
bring
it
to you here on TalkSport and TalkSport 2, of course. And we'll catch up with Bob Bubker over the next few days. All the tea times have happened today, haven't they? So we'll find out who's going out with who, and we'll come back to that a little bit later on. But over this weekend, the Long Drive World Series was taking place in this country. It goes around the world at various points on a bit of a tour. And here to tell us a bit more about it, Martin Wesney, who is the series organiser. Hi, Martin.
Good afternoon, chaps.
So, how did it all go for you this weekend?
It was fantastic, and we got an all-English final, which was great for the venue and obviously for our guys. And the two-time world champion, Joe Miller, won. That's actually his first event for us to win. Right. So, it went absolutely fantastically.
Brilliant.
What are the rules of this? Do they have to... Because obviously they're going for full power and length, so accuracy, is that part of it or not?
We create a grid which is effectively sort of 60 yards wide, so like quite a wide fairway. But it varies from venue to venue. And then they're looking for, basically power is what they're after. So club head speeds that some of the guys get to are sort of 150 miles an hour plus. And if you look at some of the top guys on tour, their club head speed would be 125, something like that. So they'd hit it. They hit it sort of 50 yards further, 60 yards further than anybody else.
And what about the restrictions on the clubs they can use or the balls they can use? Are they kind of fairly uniform in the tournament?
Yes. So all the clubs conform to all the regulations. They normally do go for the full length. The main difference with what these guys do, apart from obviously the power, strength and speed, is that the club has a much flatter face. So a standard driver that you'd see on tour would have, say, between 9 and 10.5 degree loft. These guys are hitting between sort of 2 and 5 degree loft.
Right.
And also the tees are much higher, so they use a 4-inch tee. So when they're hitting the ball, it's much flatter, but it's much higher. So they're using the tee to get the elevation, not the club.
Did anybody take a 3-wood? Not really.
Weirdly, Joe Miller actually does a trick with a putter where he'll drive a putter over 300 yards.
No. It's incredible. And is this about brute strength, technique? What makes a great long driver?
It's all of the above, actually. I mean, most of the guys are sort of, 6'4" and above. They take this very seriously. They're all very... The weird thing is they're actually pretty much all very, very good golfers. So the first question people ask us is, look, they're great big guys and they can hit it a long way, but can they play golf? And, sort of the short answer is, some of them are actually pro golfers. But they can just hit it a very long way. So training is important. The technique is important. And really practice. I mean, some of these guys are hitting sort of 1,000 balls a day in practice and 2 hours in the gym every day.
Wow.
What is the longest drive on record? Do we know?
The longest drive on record is 515.
Wow.
But in Mexico, we had a 4.83. On the weekend, we had a 4.39, and that's obviously sea level of the UK. So, you know, we get some pretty big numbers. These guys, you know, we don't start the grid till 300 yards in the UK, and we started the grid at 400 yards in Mexico.
Wow, is that because the air's thinner, I suppose? Yeah.
So the air's thinner, yeah, 7,000 feet.
And I see here there's somebody called Lisa Longball on your website. So presumably women are doing this as well.
Yes. We don't have a ladies' section at the moment, but in America they have there's a ladies' section, yeah. And they can drive that as further than most men can, that's for sure.
And so where have you recruited from? Are they sort of, do you go to the big hitters and say, do you want to get involved? Or
Yes. Yeah, so basically we've been going. This is our second end, sort of towards the end of our second year now. What we did, we looked at effectively what you would call the top kind of 10, 12 guys in the world, invited them to come to a competition, and then we have an open section. So effectively anyone who fancies their chances can register, come along, and qualify. Mm. And then you go up against those guys. And the good thing about long drive is that it's all on one ball sometimes. So you might have a fantastic set. So we do 8 balls in 3 minutes, and then they have a power ball, which is like, almost like a penalty shootout, or a golden shot, if you like. And we've had it where the penalty shootout, if you like, that's won, and they've literally won the match on one ball. There's a ton of pressure. And it's sort of, you know, world's strongest man for golf, if you like.
Yeah, nice one.
Yeah, it reminds me of the home run derby in the All-Star game. Yeah, you know, where they try and drive it as far as they can. Mm. Yeah, there's something quite thrilling about seeing somebody just hit it as hard as they can, really.
Yeah, it does come down to sort of, you know, man's basic instinct of watching people lift things really heavy or hit things really far, or, you know, and the brute strength of these guys. I mean, the techniques are unbelievable if you watch it on the YouTube channels and stuff. And you just think, how can they do that? How can they get so fast?
Does anybody do a kind of Happy Gilmore run-up?
We have had that, yeah. In fact, in last year in our event in Dubai, Rafa Cabrera-Bello was there. Yeah. And we did a little, he came on just for fun. And one of the players had a sort of a Happy Gilmore hit off with him. He hit it normally with his golf swing, and we said, look, we'll do a Happy Gilmore just to give you, you know, a chance, as it were.
Right.
And,
so
that was great fun.
And next for you, I see it's Portugal. Switzerland from your website.
Switzerland in August, and then Portugal is part of the Portuguese Masters in September, which we did last year as well, which went down brilliantly. Last year we did it on the Sunday night, but this year they've asked us to do it on the Saturday evening because it's a good entertainment spectacle. It's a good hour of fun and power, and you know, we pump the music up. It's not like golf at all. You know, there's music, there's DJs, there's VIP areas, everyone's drinking. I mean, it's a party for golf, really.
And who's your tip for the Open, finally?
I'd like to see. Who would I like to see?
It's the one who hits it the furthest.
I'm not going to put my money on anyone.
No, no.
And depending on the weather, you just don't know. It could be anyone's. It's like the Grand National. It could be anyone's.
Good. Well, look, good to talk to you, Mike. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Really odd not having Russian music, isn't it? After about nearly 5 weeks.
That's true, really, yeah.
Of constant Russian ins and outs. But anyway, we leave the World Cup behind and we count down at the start of the season.
That's right. Now, not everybody enjoyed the World Cup. This bloke, Dag Smith from Worcester, wrote to the Mail on Sunday.
I often turn to him when I want to know what people thought of the World Cup.
I know. He said, until reading Peter Hitchens' column, I thought I was the only male in the country who was not bothered whether England won the World Cup.
Hmm.
With so much football and tennis on TV recently, we've been forced to become sports fanatics. You think, well, not really. You've got about 500 other channels. You've got box sets. You've got books.
Yeah.
You don't
need a book.
You're not forced at all, are you, really? Yeah. So stop moaning. If you don't like it, just keep quiet about it. We all loved it.
My oldest lad, he has come up with a name, Andy. We don't play sport or naught anymore, but this name is it's a real name, right?
Yeah.
She is the coach of Murray State Women's Golf Team, the college sports team. And this is a sensation. If this was running in the 3:30 at Kempton, you wouldn't think twice. Step forward, Murray State women's golf coach, Velvet Milkman.
Velvet Milkman?
Yeah.
I fancy Velvet Milkman in the 3:30, as long as he gets the trip. I think he'll get the winner race.
And it's Velvet Milkman. Yeah. Velvet Milkman.
Is a great name for a horse.
Yeah, is right. Yeah, what about that? It's fantastic, isn't it?
Infantino, according to Martin Lipton and the Sun, he's still refusing to give up on his plan to expand the 2022 World Cup. You could say, still refusing to give up on his plan to ruin the 2022 World Cup.
Yeah.
48 teams, and definitely not in a place where they've only got one place for stadiums. I mean, I can't see how that would work in Qatar at all. You know, it seems very odd.
Mm.
I don't think it'll work anywhere. We don't need it, but there you go. This is a wonderful fake news story in the Daily Star today. They want to exploit a loophole created for rocker Keith Richards so their new boss can have a fag during matches.
Yeah.
Apparently he does like to smoke. We've heard this about him.
Mm.
But Newham Council allowed Keith Richards to puff away during the band show at the London Stadium this year as it was part of the performance. And Chelsea could look to exploit the loophole to keep their chain-smoking boss happy. An insider said, I don't know who he is, Maurizio will struggle if he has to wait 90 minutes to have his next ciggy. He'll be in a foul mood, especially if Chelsea have another season like last year. This is so not an insider saying this. This is just the bloke who wrote the piece.
The bad news, Andy, of course, is if you leave, I don't know if you know the rules, if you leave Stamford Bridge for a cigarette, there is no readmittance. You can't get back in. So if you say to the steward, I mean, it's probably true of every football ground, I don't know. But this is a good point, actually. Listeners can tell us. I'm sure there's some smokers
there.
There is
no readmittance.
Say, I've got to have a cigarette. I can't stand the tension. Yes, mate, feel free, but you're not coming back
and
in.
And the whole ground is it's not just the stadium. It's all the surround of the stadium.
Have you noticed, though, in the past what goes on? I've noticed it a couple of times at Wembley, and I used to notice it at White Hart Lane. Some people just can't get through. So they go to the loo, where there are generally no stewards in there, and they smoke a cigarette in about 10 seconds. It's just almost like in one inhale.
I haven't seen that lately. People, when it first came in, the smoking ban, I think most people go along with it now.
I've seen people use the loos. You see the white smoke appearing from the cubicles now and again, that people can't get through the 90 minutes.
It does seem a bit odd, though. I'm sure he can get through the 90 minutes, can't he?
I'd like to think so. It should be a deal breaker if you're going to be a football manager. Well, you should be able to go 90 minutes without a cigarette.
And a couple of posh announcements today. Blimey. How's this one for the wedding of the engagement of Count G.F. Del Bono and Miss C.A. Fox Andrews, the engagement announced between Gianfilippo, eldest son of the Count and Countess Lupo Del Bono of Milan and Panama. It's quite a long, quite a big distance between those brothers.
I don't know, blimey.
The Countess of Panama and Milan, but there you go.
You can't do like Panama in the afternoon and, where was it? Milan in the morning.
It does seem a bit odd. And well done to the Peckham Coopers. Yes.
Is these people called Cooper from Peckham, or is this a double barrel name?
Double barrel name. Hugo is the born a brother to. Oh no, Jasper William Hector.
Spit it out, man! You're just saying words.
Jasper William Hector, brother to Hugo. Both of them unlikely to run their own whelk stands, would be my view.
They're going to come round the pubs on a Friday night, super cockle on their back in a big basket, are they? Does seem.
I know we're going to have a chat about Fortnite later on in the show.
You're quite a convert to the game Fortnite, aren't you, Andy?
I'm quite fascinated. A brilliant piece in the Times this morning.
Yeah.
And apparently you can watch it online. So I went, it's a thing called Twitch, and you go and watch these people playing, and it's incredible. I mean, each one had about 20 or 30,000 people watching live. So it's an amazing phenomenon. There's no point.
Are you thinking of taking it up, Andy? Or?
No, this piece said it's great for young people because it's a bit like the effect Elvis Presley had all those years ago, where older generation didn't understand him at all, and the younger generation took him to their hearts because it separated them from their parents, you know, and so they loved it. And this is a bit the same. Although the England team, Dele Alli, spent basically 147 hours, because you could watch them. They were playing publicly. So he's Del Strea 14.
Okay.
And he played 441 matches during the World Cup for a total number of hours of 147, which I think somebody worked out is about nearly 6 days.
So he spent 6 days while he was away playing Fortnite.
Harry
Surely he should have spent 14 days.
You'd have thought so, yeah. Harry Kane, he was second. Harry HK 93.
Yeah.
Played 121 hours. And Kieran Trippier, it's obviously a big thing at Spurs. He played for 111 hours.
Really?
Yeah, so there you go.
But there are some readers amongst them, though. Did you notice that? Fabian Delph was saying the other day, oh, we got a few readers.
Eric Dyer's a reader. He's got to be, isn't he?
Well, I think, yeah, when he's not at the art galleries, he's reading.
Yeah.
Imagine listening to a string quartet in his smoking jacket. Takes his tracksuit off and he's there looking like Cyril Fletcher in the corner with a little...
Right, I think so.
I'd like to think that's
Eric. Definitely. And congratulations to Kieran Trippier. He got the Freedom of Bury. I'm sure you saw it in the papers.
The Freedom of Bury.
But we decided that not to get the local council, because we've had that conversation quite a lot over the years.
Well, we know how it goes. We get him on. It would have been Labour councillor Rishi Shorey, and we would have said to him, hi, Rishi. We would have said, hello. So what does it entail? Well, not much, really. It's ceremonial. Can he drive his... sheep down the high street? No, he can't. Okay, Rishi, thanks for joining us. So that would have been, it would have effectively been that conversation. So we decided against it.
That's true. Mm. And Danny started this thing where they obviously expected England that we're going to finish third.
Yeah.
Because they published a thing this morning called The Bluffer's Guide to Famous Thirds with Paul Donnelly. On Saturday, Belgium pipped England to win the third place. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Here's how to bluff your mates with your knowledge of all things third. Why would you? It was Belgium, not us. Have you got one fourths?
Yeah, famous fourths.
I know.
Doesn't really work quite as well, does it? That's definitely one of those where the edit said, yeah, just go on, stick it in anyway. Stick it in anyway, no one's going to. Maybe Andy Jacobs will notice, but no one else will.
Exactly.
No one else will mind. Sampaoli's got the sack, hasn't he? Argentina's coach.
Yes.
We'll be chatting to Tim Vickery a little bit later in the week about that, but that's not a massive surprise.
No great surprise, was it?
That's
you'd love to know exactly what went on there. Apparently, Mascherano and Messi took over the dressing room.
That's the word. So, yeah, there'll be a lot of fallout, I'm sure, after that. And a little one for Alan, if he gets a bit warm and he's doing the show in the mornings. Mm. One of the supermarkets is now, one of the upmarket supermarkets, is now selling rosé wine ice lollies. Yeah.
Oh.
So what about that?
That's quite good. It's probably the one that he always goes into.
A frozen cocktail on a stick.
Wow.
For Alan. So
Don't
tell him, mate. Don't tell him.
Sandy Worsley of Rochester in Kent wrote to the Sun today with this. She said, I really hope that our England boys know just how proud we are of their conduct on and off the field. That's true. Although such a young team, they played with dignity, respect, and show what sportsmanship's all about. People really change their tune. Watch this team blossom, says Sandy. I don't know whether... Sandy's got any knowledge about how the team's going to pan out, but there you go.
Maybe she's had a good look at the youth players coming through. I'm guessing she has. And you've probably seen this, but if not, Gareth Southgate has been given the great accolade of having Southgate tube station on the Piccadilly line named in his honour for 48 hours. And claiming this is our old mate Mike Collett, a journalist, who last Sunday on Facebook said if England win the World Cup, they should rename Southgate Station Gareth Southgate Station. So someone was watching because they have now, Mike. So very well done to you. And, just for 48 hours, I'm sure it's a little photo op for anybody who's at that end of the Piccadilly line and wants to get a picture of that. So
some of the journalists coming back have been away for 5 weeks, which is a long haul. I mean, we did 2.5 and it was long enough. So they're at a World Cup and they're having fun.
Yeah, but could be worse.
Could be worse. But they're all sort of saying they can't believe that Love Island is still going. It started before the World Cup. It's still going. They received a massive 557 complaints.
He wants to, because you know Gianni Infantino wants to increase it to 48 contestants in Love Island.
Oh, does he really?
Yeah, in four years' time.
That would work.
Yeah.
They received a massive 557 complaints. After Idris lied to Laura about Jack and George's
kiss. You could be saying any names.
I know, me too.
Not
no idea, sorry.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, you got me.
Well, obviously, you know,
well, people love it.
557, was it? Yeah.
What were that? If I'm watching that all the time, playing Fortnite, I'm going to have no time to do the show, Andy. I mean, a bit like, I'd love you to be playing Fortnite, spending days. There you are, clicking away. You're going to, you've not tried it yet. You're not tempted.
No, I don't like it.
It's good enough
games.
For Dele Alli.
To me, I'm watching it. To me, it looks like your classic shoot 'em up game. Really, I couldn't see what was so different about this one that's caught on. But apparently, there's an online shop. You can buy different outfits for your team and everything like that. So you know,
Andy Jacobs' games forum that he now introduces. The games guru, I know. Andy Jacobs.
Jonathan Beals will be amused. Don't ask me to leave it out.
turn it up or pack it in. Don't ask me.
Yes, time for Don't Ask Me. Five questions for Andy Jacobs based on last week's shows.
Can yes.
Can he get five out of five?
Very unlikely.
Let's try and put this to bed, Andy, shall we?
Hmm.
So, okay, Friday then. Friday. What's the question for Friday? We spoke to Todd Macklin, and a guy had got a certain amount of notoriety after going to a Cubs game because he had something on his face. What did he have on his face?
Cheese. No, wasn't it? No. He had something on his beard. It's mustard. Mustard.
Well, you said cheese. All right, I'll let
cheesy
that go.
Cheesy mustard.
No, it wasn't cheesy mustard. It was just mustard. Cheese. Okay, well, anyway, it was mustard, so I'll let you have that one then. All right, fair enough.
Yeah.
We spoke to Craig Davis. He's the Manchester... sorry, not Manchester. I keep doing that. Winchester City.
Mm.
I wish we had the money of the Manchester City manager.
Yeah.
Winchester City manager. Because his team... was being managed on Football Manager by which French footballer?
Ousmane Dembele.
That's right, yeah. You're not saying cheese to that one, are you?
No.
Okay, Mike Parry and Mike Graham join us on Wednesday. We were live ahead of England's semi-final. And Mr. Parry was claiming the success of Three Lions. When, in fact, when he was at the FA, he chose the official song as well, which was covered by which well-known pop star?
Oh, it was Mick Hucknall.
It was Mick Hucknall and Simply Red. Okay, you're on fire, apart from the first one. Stephen Sylvester joined us to talk about England's excellent sports psychologist. He did such a great job. What's her name?
Dr. Pippa Grange.
Whoa! Ooh. Okay, then, can he get five out of five, or four and a half, when you consider he got the first one wrong, technically? We spoke to the comedian Tom Ward. He's a Southampton fan, and his upcoming show... at Edinburgh has got a very interesting title, and we talked about it in great depth. So, what's the show called? Last Monday, we talked a lot about it because it was a very quirky, different name of a show, Andy. God, this is for the fridge freezer.
I'm afraid it's completely gone.
Really?
I can't even remember Tom. I can't picture him.
Really? Well, he's a very striking man with a very interesting... haircut.
I don't know, as if I've never met him.
Bodes well. Anyway, it was called Popcorn Lung.
Oh, yes.
Popcorn. It sounds like a Frank Zappa album. Yeah. Popcorn Lung, it's called.
Yeah, it's a thing something that happens at people when who work in popcorn factories.
That's right. So there we are. And say, Popcorn Lung. They completely escaped.
Yeah, I was never going to remember that.
Okay, well, it was possible. I built the tension up. I let you off the first one. You got that one wrong. So there we are. We're back tomorrow from 1. Thanks for downloading us.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.